Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
9 minutes after 8 at 720 WGN, I'm John Landecker. And where has she been? Good God, Corey. What's going on?
Too long. Hi, John. I'm just back from California. How the heck are you?
I'm really good, Corey. Rumor, Chicago Tribune. How the hell are you?
I'm good. I'm good. My family, we got back from San Diego at 4:30 this morning at Midway Airport, but yikes. We're going strong. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you coming on tonight, then. I mean.
Oh, I'd love to chat with you, my friend. How have you been?
I'm good. Things are good. I've been wondering where you were. I've been checking out the paper. I'm like, where's Corey? What's going on? aren't we due for another conversation about something? I don't care what it's about. And then the article, Remember Spire Musk's Ex, caught my eye. Chicago projects that won the mayor's support but were later sidelined. And I'm saying, well, there we go. There's the opening to get Corey back on, especially with, you know, other projects that are sort of in the wind now in Chicago, like gambling casinos and where they're going to be and proposals to do this and proposals to do that. And I really got a kick out of this article, which took me back to some of the things I remember distinctly, some of them not so much. So the mayor selected Bally's with a $1.74 billion casino, hotel, and entertainment development just very recently.
Yeah, in May. Yeah.
And it faces a long process, right? I mean, what does it have to go through to come to fruition?
Well, for me, this whole thing sounded like deja vu all over again. You know, yeah. Like the mayor comes up with an idea for a great project for the city and partners with some group, and a lot of money is thrown at it. So when I heard about this too, and it looks like the preferred site for that casino project is actually the Tribune's printing plant site.
Go down there, get the paper, and play a slot machine. What a perfect combination! Yeah.
Well, and it's so funny because if you've been following along with the Chicago Tribune, like we were kicked out of Tribune Tower we left One Prudential Plaza. So it's like, oh, okay, maybe in a couple of years there will be a casino where I park my car. So. So, yeah, I took a big interest in this. Like, okay, I've heard this before. A mayor gets this idea for a project. What are the chances it's actually going to come to fruition? So one night I got on the Twitters in May and I asked people, like, hey, I've heard this before. You all have heard this before. Can you think of other big projects in the city's history that, you know, we've seen a lot of projects that have happened. Okay, Millennium Park has happened. That's a great project. But what are some examples of projects that were highly touted but never came to fruition? And so I don't go viral very often, and I don't know if this qualifies as viral, but a lot of people weighed in. And so I took a look through the Tribune's archives, and we came up with, I think, 10 different projects.
Yeah.
That were near misses, that were, it looked like something could happen with them, but they never materialized.
Well, let's talk about some of them. The first one, I think, in the article is the Chicago Spire.
Yeah, and, you know, for people who are new to the city, this is one that you might not be familiar with unless you see a picture of it, because it's a giant hole in the ground on this parcel of land that's near Lake Michigan and Chicago River. If you've driven Lakeshore Drive, you've probably driven right by it but not been able to see it. And so this was going to be the tallest skyscraper in the United States, in the Western Hemisphere, as a matter of fact. Grandiose plans. And the fun thing about all these projects is at the Tribune, we have archived renderings of what these things were supposed to look like. And so that's the other thing the article has with it is, hey, here's what it was supposed to look like. And here's what the site kind of looks like now. And like I mentioned, right now, it's just a giant hole in the ground.
So this goes back to 2005. Is that what we're talking about for this?
Yeah,
the original proposal.
Yes, that's when it was originally proposed, and there was supposed to be this highly touted architect from Spain who was going to design it. And the site, I think at that site, there was something else, or there were plans at other places around the city to build, you know, giant skyscraper, giant, biggest one ever. And those didn't materialize either. So this one was going to be just shorter, or let's see, no, this one was going to be taller than the Willis Tower, which will always be Sears Tower to me. and the mayor, I mean, mayor, it was Richard M. Daley who thought it was a good idea. It just didn't happen. I think a lot of these things, they lose steam, or, you know, developer goes bankrupt, and then it becomes somebody else's problem to figure out what to do with that site. And in the time since then, there have been other things proposed for that site. It sounds like currently there are two apartment towers that could go up there, but who knows if that's still actually going to happen or not. For now, it's a giant hole in the ground.
So is the hole the result of they broke ground for this? Is that why the hole is there?
They did.
Wow.
They did. Yeah. And so, and here's what I don't understand. I think currently the site is fenced off. It's like, how come we don't hear more about that site? Yeah. And, you know, do people try to get in there and explore this 76-foot deep hole? Like, I don't know. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
We've got a lot more examples to get to with Corey Roemer from the Chicago Tribune. Projects that started or were proposed, big ones, and never made it to the final, to the finish line. We'll do more of that when we come back on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. John Landecker at 19 minutes after 8 o'clock, and we're talking to Corey Roemer from the Chicago Tribune, talking about major projects that were proposed by the mayors in the history of Chicago, big projects, millions, billions of dollars worth of stuff that never made it to the finish line. And don't go away, because sooner, well, I'm going to say later, not sooner, but later, the name Elon Musk will emerge. So if that doesn't whet your appetite, I don't know what does. So now, Corey, so this block 37.
Yeah.
This is an interesting location to me anyway, an interesting attempt at providing some sort of shopping or mall experience, I think. I'm guessing for down on State Street that has never really clicked. I used to work near Block 37, and every time I'd pass it, most of it was unoccupied. I think Channel 2 went in on the other end and put some showcase studios or something, but I never really saw anything happen there. And you've got an article that says a block superstation, Block 37 superstation for the CTA, which was an express rail service?
Yeah, you know, it's a perennial problem. How do we get people from O'Hare downtown quickly? Like you mentioned, this will come up a couple of times, this whole idea. And so Block 37, I could probably write something on that whole block itself and how it remained dormant for a long time and who thought it was a good idea to put a giant mall on that site. I remember as a kid going to the Chris Kindle Market and before this became Block 37, it was like Chris Kindle Market had two blocks and it was great. And now it's a giant mall that I don't know if anybody goes there. I do know that the Pedway connects to it because when I worked in One Prudential Center, we used to go there all the time through the Pedway to get lunch. But I
skate.
Yes,
I remember that.
David Jennings from the news department, a fabulous figure skater.
No.
He does a double axel.
I'm a butt skater, okay, if that helps you out any.
Salchow or whatever at the Olympics in 1973.
Just shovel me around on my back. It's simpler that way. It avoids falling down.
You know what? It's so odd. Not odd that you bring... It's a very timely that you bring up the idea of it being a skating rink there, because there was a point where I had a morning show and we did a wedding on ice. You just stimulated that memory. It was somewhere in the mid 90s when there was a skating rink there, obviously during the winter. And I don't know, a wacky promotion. Let's have a couple get married on the ice at Block 37.
Wasn't that also used at one point for displaying artwork for one of the Maggie Daly projects?
Yes. That's why this is... There's so much to this.
There's a lot that's gone on in that space.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And so thank you so much. I'm so glad you're both interested in this, because I think this will be a vintage Chicago Tribune newsletter item one of these days. Just because, we could talk for the next hour about this site alone.
Well, I like the idea of express rail service from downtown to O'Hare. I mean,
there was only one small problem. No, there was no one who could really make it work. Because I think there was one time there was talk about doing something with the CTA Blue Line. But that would require, I think the plan was they were going to build something straight down into that particular spot. That would be the terminal, but that's just one of many plans to for high speed rail.
Yeah. So what
You're
got in
exactly
the way?
Right.
What, Corey? What got in the way of this idea? What happened?
Money. It was too expensive, and they threw so much money, so many tens, hundreds of millions at this.
Didn't Rahm Emanuel, when he was mayor, also talk about Elon Musk and...
Wait, we're getting there. Hold it.
Oh, okay.
It's coming up. Spoiler alert.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Sorry. Never mind.
So they throw all this money at it, and then it doesn't complete it, and so...
No. There wasn't any money to throw at it. That was the problem.
Oh, there was no budget.
It was a nice idea, but paying for it, they didn't have them. The city didn't have the money to pull it off.
That's just it. I think it was just huge costs associated with that. Because the original idea was, okay, we're not only going to get people quickly from the loop to O'Hare, but we're also going to have a section where you can check your bags, so you don't have to take those with you on this thing. And so, it was a really interesting concept, but like you said, having to dig down in through the infrastructure in downtown Chicago to try to build a station that could handle all of these things and get people to the airport, it just wasn't feasible.
Well, in your article, it says that a combined $213 million has been spent on the project. There is not much more than a massive hole in the ground to show for it. That's not is that the same thing we're talking about?
Yes, that's the same thing. Yeah, $213 million had been spent on it, and they just abandoned it. I mean, I think it was during a status check in 2008, and it was like, no, we can't just keep throwing money at this thing.
I wish I could have $213 million that I just invest in something and go,
I'm looking for a retirement fund, okay? Thank you.
At the time, the CTA estimated they would need at least another $100 million to finish the job.
Wow.
And I don't think that they'd even, by that point, I don't think they'd even done the rebuilding of the red line on the south side yet, had they?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
My. Well, it's 8:26. I'm looking at the remaining examples, and I don't want to start one and then break in the middle of it. But, let's do Elon Musk. What the heck? We got like 3.5 minutes. So
it'll make for a good cliffhanger, John.
All right, good. So let's go to the Elon Musk relationship with Rahm Emanuel and what that was all about.
Okay, so this happened on June 14th, 2018. It was almost 10 years to the day that the CTA decided to stop throwing money at the Block 37 Superstation project. And that's when Mayor Emanuel, I think he was going to be up for re-election, had Elon Musk, and they were in the site of the where the superstation was supposed to be for a press conference, and telling people that there was going to be these vehicles that could take about 16 people on this underground route directly from the loop to O'Hare. I remember working on the map for this when this was announced.
And it was called the Boring Company, B-O-R-I-N-G, right?
Yes, a Boring Company. And I believe this whole concept had been proposed in other towns.
But they did it in Las Vegas.
Yes, they did it in Las Vegas, and it was essentially Teslas in tunnels. That's what it was.
So these are going to be driverless 16-passenger vehicles that would go back and forth at speeds exceeding 100 miles an hour in tunnels?
What could possibly go wrong, John?
don't laugh that loudly. Have you ever been on the tunnel train? That travels more than 100 miles an hour.
Oh, no, I have been on that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And it works.
I wonder how expensive that was to do, because that was a pretty big deal. I know we're deviating from this list, but that had to be a super expensive project.
Well, the whole idea of Elon Musk getting involved in something these days is, at least a question mark comes up.
To answer your question about the cost of the tunnel?
Yes.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
It's 31 miles long. It costs $21
billion. Oh, my God.
And where does the channel run?
It runs under the English Channel. It connects Britain and France.
Can you imagine?
So instead of taking a ferry boat, you just hop on the train. It takes you in, and once you get to France, you're in, I believe, one of the main rail stations, so you've got access to high-speed rail all over Europe.
You know, I've seen London. I've seen France. Oh, never mind. More with Corey Loomer coming
and
up.
And he's got the T-shirts to prove it. All right.
But it's the bottom of the hour.
Boom.
And time to get into the WGN newsroom. 720 WGN. I'm John Landecker. Things are a little loose around here, but that's fine. I suddenly realized at the last minute that Jimi Hendrix did a song called Crosstown Traffic, and I could not get it up in time. Well, that's not, well, that sounded good. I don't mean that. I mean, I couldn't find it. That didn't come out the way I planned it. It's 720 WGN. John Landecker talking to Corey Loomer from the Chicago Tribune about projects, multimillion-dollar projects that just never made it in Chicago. And one of them is the Crosstown Expressway. Wow. I remember this.
I'm glad you do, because I didn't. I had to have somebody explain this one to me. So this one took a little more research on my part.
Whoa, wait a minute. Hold on. Let me see if I can. Did I find it here in time? Wait. No, never mind. Why do I even bother go down those rabbit holes? So anyway, tell us about the Crosstown, Corey.
Oh, my gosh. So yet another perennial problem in Chicago is trying to get around and trying to do it in a way that makes sense. And it's like, okay, well, maybe if we build an expressway to connect some other expressways, that'll solve the problem.
Yeah.
And so I think it was back in 1960 that this idea was first proposed, this whole Crosstown Expressway. But there were different iterations of it. It's like, okay, are we going to connect the Kennedy to the Eisenhower, or are we going to connect it to Dan Ryan? Anyway, so I had to kind of pick and choose here. So we decided to go with the one that showed, okay, we're going to try to reroute the traffic away from downtown and give the west and southwest sides some access to the expressways without having to use downtown streets or other arterial streets. And so Richard J. Daley, said he really backed this idea. This was something that he wanted to happen. Unfortunately, this idea, this iteration of it, came about in 1975, and Daley died December 20th, 1976. And so this is yet another interesting part about all this, how political this whole process is with these projects. Like with Elon Musk's tunneling to the airport, as soon as Rahm Emanuel announced he wasn't going to seek re-election, and Lori Lightfoot was elected mayor, that project was put on the back burner. That was dead in the water. And the same thing happened with this project when Governor Jim Thompson said no, he was not going to, in spite of Daley's death, this project was not going to be revived. So that's the other interesting aspect of all this for me is, you know, just because a mayor gets behind a project doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Right.
So it's really an interesting thing because when you look at the projects that do get done, I mentioned earlier Millennium Park and how great Millennium Park is. And it's like, oh, what a no-brainer to put this giant, beautiful park that's easily accessible downtown along the lakefront. It's more those types of projects that actually, you know, are proposed, are supported, and are completed. That's rare.
Well, there's one more in your article, and it's something that's very recent in the past few years, and people will definitely remember this. The proposed Lucas Museum of Narrative Art, proposed for Chicago's lakefront near Soldier Field. We're talking Star Wars and George Lucas.
Yeah, I mean, this was so interesting. You know, I was reading the Tribune when this was proposed, and a lot of us were asking ourselves, like, well, yeah, we know him through Star Wars. We know him through his work. But what's actually going to be inside this museum? Mm-hmm. And also knowing the history of Chicago's lakefront and how it's largely been built to be accessible to anyone, to have someone like this, a private person, a person who doesn't represent the city, propose this idea and get this prime lakefront spot. A lot of people didn't take kindly to that idea, even though, again, Rahm Emanuel thought this was a perfect idea, a great addition to the lakefront, even though it went against those things. And there's a local watchdog group that advocates for open spaces, and this. So there was this huge debate over this idea.
Well, according to what I know about it, the museum, the George Lucas Museum of Narrative Art, would include his significant art collection and his movie memorabilia collection, which obviously would focus mostly on Star Wars. And he's not from Chicago, but his wife is. I remember that was a part of the story. And
yes.
I think that was one of the elements of proposing it for the city. And I think they wanted like 17 acres on the lakefront where the Soldier Field parking lots are.
Right. Yeah. And that was another map that I remember putting together and thinking, wait a minute, that's where people tailgate for
that's not going to work.
How is that going to work?
No, you can't. You can do a lot of things in Chicago, but you cannot infringe on Bear fans. Just forget it. It's not going to happen.
My husband, who covers the Bears for the Sun Times, the other paper in town, will tell you exactly the same thing. Right, John.
Yeah, you can't do that. We love Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, all of that. But we're the Bears fans. This is where we grill brats. You're going to have to take your R2-D2. You can take your R2-D2 to another part of town, if you know what I'm saying.
I
got the idea that it was more, you know, I love Star Wars and George Lucas is a genius and all of that. But I got the impression it was more like an ego thing. You know, it wasn't like when you say it's a museum of narrative art and then everything in it is the collection of one person who is, how do I say this, still amongst us, you know, and still working, and will probably create a lot of other great films before he's finished. I just didn't, it didn't seem to, you know, and I, it just didn't seem to settle right with me. I don't know the location of it, all of it. And it was Rahm Emanuel, once you were mentioning earlier, you know, these projects get a mayor behind it. And then when the mayor is when the mayor, when he's, that person is not the mayor anymore, and the mayor coming in is not gung ho, then those projects sort of stop. And I think that's one of the things that happened to this.
Yeah, and I think maybe it would have done better had a different site been suggested. You know,
we're talking
about Block 37. Hey, why don't you take the top floors of Block 37?
Exactly. I mean, perfect. Yeah. A place like Block 37. Corey, I believe you should run for mayor. That's all that has to happen? Because you can solve this in a second. Why not change Block 37 into the George Lucas Narrative Art Museum? What a great idea. It's already there.
I completely agree with you, John. I think the most surprising thing about this story for me was to find out that George Lucas was a sometime resident of Chicago because, like you said, his wife is from here. It's like, oh, my gosh, how cool is that?
I mean,
to go from being a part-time resident to expecting to have a prime piece of lakefront property for your namesake museum, I mean, that takes big cojones, right?
I mean, think about it. Block 37, you can get Lou Manfredini in there. He can do all sorts of remodeling, plastering, whatever. All of our sponsors can come in, build stuff. You know, and then George Lucas can have his space. Yeah.
You see, nobody consulted us about this.
I know. You know, when will they learn? You know, they didn't get back to us about naming the snowplows. Now they're not even.
I know.
Yeah. Where'd that
go? I need to follow up with the mayor's office. This summer there was going to be a snowplow contest, and we have yet to see that.
Yeah, this goes back quite a while. I think it's one of the first times Corey and I talked to each other on the air, and there was a story floating around about other cities. I think it was in Minnesota or somewhere where, you know, you get a lot of snow, that they were having a lot of fun naming their snow plows and putting fun faces on the front. And we thought, well, what a great idea for Chicago. And I know that you talked to somebody immediately.
Yeah, somebody from the Department of Streets and Sanitation, who I work with on other projects, she said, yep, I consulted with the mayor's office, and we're going to have a contest this summer that'll launch this summer, a naming contest. So, I don't know.
I think
I'm going to have to ask again.
You know, it's a campaign year, so, I mean, who knows? Do we want to make naming snowplows a campaign issue? Actually, I think I think that would work in a candidate's favor, but, you know, I'm no political expert. Corey Rumor from the Chicago Tribune. Man, do I like talking to you. Thanks for coming on with us.
Right back at you, John. Thank you so much. It was nice to chat with David, too.